The following podcast is an Embassy Row production.
Welcome to Scissoring Isn't a Thing, everyone. I'm Darren Karp. I'm here with Liz Cully. We're going to get right into it because we're with our good friend, who was actually one of the first 10 guests maybe we ever had on Scissoring Isn't a Thing. Before the world shut down, we have Danny Pellegrino, who was the most iconic man that I've ever met.
Literally.
Welcome to Scissoring Isn't a Thing.
Tallest man I've seen in 2 years.
I wish we were together in real life like we were that time. It was in the old world. I think we were sitting, I remember sitting with the both of you and we were like, yes. What's this COVID thing? Like, oh, it's going to just be a little, it's going to be a little thing.
And then because Liz is a genius and Liz is very smart and just ahead of her game, here's me complimenting you. After we recorded like a bunch of episodes, Liz was like, I got to go back in and listen to whenever we're like making fun of COVID. She's like, because this is going to come back and bite us in the ass. You know, when we like, oh, don't have COVID. And then Liz was like, I remember us doing all this. So we like edited all that out because we didn't know on the first day or two. Right. Like it didn't seem like.
Okay, right. We're all watching the morning show. We know they don't know either.
Yes.
Like I right. actually feel right. more seen now because I'm like, well, if like Jennifer Aniston, who can I tell you guys just really quickly, just breathes so much. I can't handle her this season.
She
but anyway.
Breathes?
This season is strange
yeah,
to me. Like
I hate it.
Crazy. Yeah. It's off the rails.
Off the rails.
Do you think Liz and I have had extensive conversations in this on and off air? Is Reese believable?
No, not at all. No. Do you think, but I'd like to know your opinion too. I don't think she is at even in the slightest. I feel like I felt like she was miscast on season one and they realized that. And then season two, they were like, oh, we'll try something different. And if anything, and I love Reese Witherspoon, but if anything, this role and this show is making me like, well, maybe she's not a good actress. Like this is like the first time in my life I'm like, maybe
well, because she's
I
not
was bamboozled.
Playing the same role, which is like waspy southerner with deep-seated rage, which in Little Fires Everywhere, I think she did really well. And like we saw it in Election, like that.
Yeah,
we saw it
in
we saw it in Big Little Lies.
She,
like
so you're
that.
Right, you're right.
Role,
she's good. She's good.
Because that's who she is.
Right. But this role is unhinged.
Agreed. This role is unhinged, and you know I'm always excited for a gay storyline, let alone a lesbian storyline, let alone with two equally beautiful women who don't normally play gay roles. And I love Juliana Margulies, and when Reese like kissed Liz, I think I like called Liz. We were on a Zoom. I was like, "Did you watch some
Kiss Liz?"
She's like, sorry, when she kissed Juliana Margulies, trust me, I don't want to. Nope, Liz. I called Liz, and I was like, did you catch up with the show? She's like, no, not yet. So I was like, when you catch up, watch. And then she called me back or she was on Zoom and she was just like, I don't even know if it's real. Like, she was like, why did she kiss Juliana? And I was like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like,
it was shocking. The whole thing, I got the screeners like before the thing even premiered they usually will send, you know, like half the episodes or something, but they sent all of the episodes.
Bad sign.
By the end of it, like, and I ate them up. Like I watched every single one and couldn't stop. But by the end, I was like, am I crazy or is this crazy? Because you know how I couldn't even like go online and check, like, are other people thinking this is fucking nuts? Or am I the only one who thinks this is fucking nuts?
No.
Well, and usually that they were gearing that up. We're all caught up, right? We all watch last. I mean, I know yes. Danny, you're caught up. Liz, you're caught up. Okay. So spoiler alert for anyone who's not caught up, but I thought the lesbian thing was going to be like a bigger storyline. And then Mitch dies. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
And then
on?
Jennifer like, Aniston just goes,
that whole Italy trip. Like, what was going on? Like, what was happening in that whole.
Honestly,
Italy
the
trip,
green
like,
screen
what?
Was so bonkers. Like, they 100% shot that at a Brentwood Pacific Palisades mansion. Like,
true.
It was just so.
Well, strange. And I don't want to get in trouble for this, but in the screeners, they did. You see the green screen. And so you're wondering, like, what's this going to look like? I shouldn't say any of this. They're never going to send me a screener again. We love you, Apple. And by the way, I watched every episode. I loved it. Loved so, watching.
That's a little weird that Apple would send a screener and then show the green screen. I've never even seen that.
Because it like wasn't finished. You know,
oh
they
my
had
God,
to
you
get
guys,
it wasn't finished.
Wait, Darren, have you never seen like an animated screen? Back before we weren't allowed to really even do this, I would go to the studios, they would bring all the marketing folks in and they would like put you, all the ad marketing folks, in a room. You'd be around all your competitors and they would show you the slate. They would either do like really extended trailers or they would show you a film. And I'm trying, and it was, I think, Trolls. And we watched Trolls, but it wasn't like completely animated yet, like fully. And it was the straight, I felt like I was on very, very, very bad LSD. It was very strange. They do it all the time, Darren.
It's very depressing too, just from a creative level, because it's like they have a release date that they have to hit. And it's like, whether or not it's done, they have to finish it in some form. And it's like, so right. They just have to get it together. Nobody tag Apple and tell them that I talked about Screen Designer. I'm going to get in trouble.
No, listen, because like I obviously get Bravo screeners are all, you know, we have like rounds of it, like fine cut two, rough cuts, things like that.
Oh, and what I'll I'd see give things for that like, privilege, Darren, to just know, get those early, early ones.
Ugh. Already like binged all Ultimate Girls Trip. It's already there. Like I've gotten Liz. I mean, Liz is very involved in Salt Lake City, and obviously her best friend is Leah McSweeney. So like we have opinions and we'll get to that. But I do see that. The only other weird screen I've ever seen is The Masked Singer on Fox, and how like
just
everything
the show.
Is...
You can just stop right there. It's the weirdest thing I've watched.
The Masked
because
Singer
I interview them
screeners.
On my okay. Because I interview them on my People show, Reality Check, but they'll give it to me the night before. And they, the way the screeners work, and it's like heavy NDA that like, you know, the way the show works is like, we're all dressed up in outfits, blah, 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 and then we guess who it is. But at the end, when they reveal it, they blur the person out and they like muffle their voice. So they literally go into another edit to prevent me from even finding out who I'm interviewing tomorrow. It's crazy. That's like, at least with green screen, it's like, okay, they just haven't keyed in the image. Masked Singer, it's like, they did a whole other edit to blur out these fucking people. Like, that's wild.
The Kris Jenner thing threw me for a loop. Well, listen, I feel like we could just chat about this random shit all day. But there is a reason why we've asked Danny Pellegrino back on the show today. One, we want to hear about your new book coming out. And two, you were really the king of Christmas.
I got a tree right behind me. I don't know if you could see it right off frame. I do love me some Christmas.
Is it a real tree?
It's a Pier 1 feather tree. I have another tree like on the other side of us, but I can't move the computer. But yes, I'm a Christmas junkie. I love it. I love the holidays. I love it all.
And this is truly our holiday extravaganza special. But before dive into the holidays, please, can you give us any, speaking of like screeners, insider tips? I know you and Darren have been working on some fun things together on the book, but what's going on with the book? Can you tell us? Can you give us an insight?
I'm super excited. Yeah, it comes out March 8th. And there'll be an audiobook, an ebook, all that whole thing. You can pre-order it now. It's on Amazon, or you go to indiebound.org if you want a local, or you get it from your local bookseller, which I feel like I keep telling people because I think it's a good way to, they like connect you with your local bookstore. But I'm super excited. It's called How Do I Unremember This? And it's just a collection of silly stories, some of which I've sort of touched on my podcast. And it's a lot of nostalgia and pop culture all wrapped up in sort of my version of a David Sedaris book, if that makes sense.
Oh my God. I love David Sedaris. And let me just say, as someone who knows a little bit about the book world just because of Andy, really important to pre-order because that's a really good way for people to judge like how excited people are for your book as opposed to waiting till it comes out. So definitely pre-order Danny's book if you're going to buy it anyway. Pre-orders are just a good way to get
those numbers.
Yeah, but
I want mine signed.
I'll send you one. Liz, you guys, I'll send you one. But Darren, Darren already kind of got a copy because I had to see, we sent it through Andy. But Andy very much was the catalyst because there was a certain point where I had sent the book out and then he kind of gave me like words of encouragement when I needed them the most. And so I'm so grateful to him for hitting me at that right time. You know, when you just are kind of feeling creatively bankrupt a little bit, it was like, I needed those words at that right time. So I'm super excited. March 8th.
I'm so excited for you. I mean, you're a brilliant writer and you're so funny and I can't wait to remember unremembering your experiences. Did you happen to read Dave Quinn's book about the housewives?
I did. I loved it. I loved it. I was going to say,
what was the biggest like takeaway from that? If you had one.
The biggest thing was that Candace, which I think we can tell watching the reunion, especially now because I got my monocle on, but I feel like Andy and Candace do not like each other. And there was that one moment in the book, I don't know how they feel in real life, but there was one moment in the book where Candace kind of comes for Andy in it. And I was, do you know what I'm talking about?
She's like, and I asked, you know, Andy's assistant and, you know, never got back. I was like, Candace, I didn't ice you. Like, I didn't ice you. It's my job.
Oh my God, I forgot that was... You were in the middle of it.
And I was like, it wasn't me, Candace. Wrong person. Like, you didn't get me. But yeah.
I just thought it was so wonderfully juicy, forthcoming. And I thought it was brilliant of Andy as a publisher to really lay it all out there and be like, here's the behind the scenes stuff that the fans have been wanting all these years. Mm-hmm. And then yeah. It felt, I know Dave did such a good job, such a thorough job. And he had come on my show and he told me there was like basically double book, you know, because they had to edit it down and still so extensive. But
like
I just
100 million housewives. So
yeah,
sense.
It was just yeah. great. And everyone was in it. I thought it was so impressive, especially coming from the book world. I know how that kind of thing is where there's lawyers checking things and,
totally.
And so many people are checking it that I thought there's no way this will be that good because there'll be so many people trying to remove stuff from it. But there was still so much. I mean, and I couldn't even imagine what was taken out because I'm sure there were things that was like, oh, we can't put that. But for a book, I thought I was shocked. I felt similarly to how I felt with like Jessica Simpson's book or Mariah Carey's book, which was also on Andy's imprint, where it was like,
that's right.
The screen is sort of coming off, if that makes sense. Like we're getting these really juicy memoirs and details, and that's what people want. No one wants that sort of basic memoir, basic behind the scenes stuff. Like we want the good stuff. I don't know.
Well, especially when someone's so as exposed as a Mariah Carey or a Housewives, it's like, tell us something we don't already know and that we can't like Wikipedia you on kind of thing. Was there anything in your book, Danny, that you were scared to put in your book?
Yeah, like, there's a lot of family stories in particular. My mom, you know, my family's all in Ohio and my mom she's already someone who doesn't love like me talking about things. She's always my whole life, she's been sort of like embarrassed and I mean, I could tell you, she's not going to listen to this, but she grew up with an alcoholic father and it made her like really guarded in a way of like, she always kind of that like Catholic Midwestern thing where it's like, let's sweep everything under the rug.
Right.
And so it's not like there's tons of super heavy stuff in there, but my mom, I know she's going to find fault in whatever it is. And also there's like a lot of gay stories in there too. And I know I really wanted to not be censored in terms of gay stuff. So it's not like I'm writing about a ton of gay sex or anything, but I wanted that because I kept thinking like, if I was a young gay kid in Ohio reading, I would have picked up a book like this and I would have wanted to see what life could be like. So I tried not to censor myself, but I know that my mom will be like, why'd you have to make that comment about sucking dick or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like,
you talk about sucking dick in your book.
I know,
Danny,
it's
Pellegrino, the king of Christmas.
Really, I mean,
what?
It's not like there's a blowjob story, but I'm saying there might be like a reference or something, or there's a gay porn story that I find really hysterical. It's like a gay porn Miss Piggy story. I'll tease it like that, but I find it really funny. But I know my mom's gonna be like, Dan, why did you have to write about Sean Cody? What's this Sean Cody?
Oh
like,
God,
I, that's the
it.
Kind of thing where it's like, I know my mom's going to be like, my friend was asking me what Sean Cody is. And it's like, Sean Cody's a gay porn site.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's the kind
that.
Of thing.
I got that.
Is there anything your boyfriend didn't want you to put into the book?
No, he was, I censored basically everyone. So I changed names and everything. The only thing I really couldn't change was like my parents and my brothers. Like those were because people are going to figure it out. If I say mom or dad, they know who I'm talking about. Right. So those were the only four people in the whole book that I couldn't really change. And my boyfriend, I don't even mention his name because he's really private too. So, but he's in there as boyfriend. So I tried to be respectful and he also doesn't really care in that way. Like he's private, but he doesn't really care about that stuff. But so it's mostly just my parents and my brothers that people will really be able to pick out. And then there's one story about my best friend that she'll get, but.
Oh my God.
I didn't know so I was in your book, Danny. I didn't realize that Liz and I make an appearance as your best friends. And that's so weird.
You made me
Liz,
seem
we didn't
so
give
good.
Our consent.
The whole acknowledgments, the whole, it just says to you two.
Wait, is the book dedicated? It's just like scissors.
It should be to scissoring, just to scissoring, because that's Danny's specialty.
I'm dead.
And as Liz mentioned, Danny, you know, this is our holiday episode. The holidays are certainly, we're in the midst of it right now. I just have a generic question because you're kind of the king queen of holidays. Why are holidays so gay? Like they seem to be the gayest time of year. And I really don't know why. And does that include lesbians or is it really just gay men? Because it feels very more male gay than female gay. Liz, do you pick up on that?
No,
too?
Good observation, Darren. Really?
Okay.
Yeah. Way to kick it off.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks, Liz.
Well, I feel like I can touch on the pop culture of the holidays because I do, and I feel like I analyze holiday movies a lot. And I think this is the one time of year where we get an influx of the genre that I think particularly gay men really are find an affinity for. There's a lot of Christmas rom-coms. And now, especially within this year and last year, we've been getting a lot more gay rom-coms. There's a new Netflix one. Last year, there was a Fran Drescher one with a gay couple that was the lead. We had The Happiest Season, which of course had Kristen Stewart as the lead. So we're getting more of that. But just in general, we get these movies that throughout the year we're so deprived of because all we get is these superhero movies. And we get them on every fucking channel. Every network is giving them to us now, which I love. I love, we have Peacock. There's a Housewives one coming. We have Netflix is throwing tons of money at like bigger budget ones. And then Hallmark is of course lower budget, but they have like a formula down and Hallmark is finally getting a bit more diverse. They have a different head of their company now. That guy.
I mean, it's incredible. It's amazing what they've done.
They got the stars.
Really diverse.
Like, it's incredible, actually.
No, but that guy who was running it, who, like, banned that lesbian commercial last year, he's at the GAC network now. So now, basically, like, that new network, he's trying to make that what Hallmark was. And now Hallmark, they're finally doing movies with, like, a lot of people of color as leads. They're having another, there's another gay one on there. And so it's, Hallmark is finally, slowly, but they're finally, which I've been a fan of that world for years. And I've always been saying, like, I love these movies. I just want to see some representation, as I know so many people do. So they're finally stepping out, but I feel like we get them on every network and every place now. And throughout the year, we don't get those rom-coms. We don't get gay movies.
If I'm wrong, did the year that they banned that lesbian commercial?
It was a Zola Hallmark commercial, by the way. It was a Zola
commercial.
Wedding, which there you go.
Did it happen at the same time that the first gay Hallmark holiday movie?
No,
was that the same year?
Wasn't it the year before?
Well, last year was the first gay Hallmark movie.
When I was getting married. So 2019, they banned it.
Okay, so that was 2 years ago.
Okay, because I'm thinking, like, you're erasing the women from your fucking network, but then you're just going to keep the, like, that feels weird.
Well, that's actually an interesting point. They did a gay, so the movie on Hallmark that we're talking about, which we'll talk about a little bit later, is,
Aaron Samuels was in it, right? The guy from Mean Girls.
Jonathan Bennett. Yeah, he was in it. It was, I think, like three
couples. The Christmas
couples
setup.
And
the
so
Christmas
there
setup
was one
is what
gay
it's
couple.
Yes.
And they're doing a sequel to that now this year. So
totally.
They're back
do
for
you,
the sequel.
Do we all think that they could they went with gay men because lesbians are too sexualized?
You know,
that's
I
a great
think
question.
My
thanks, Darren.
My theory is that they were using Jonathan Bennett already, I think, as like a hetero lead, character lead. And so maybe they were just like,
just
we'll
move him over here because he's
they have like a lot of gay talent that they're using as like Luke McFarlane, who's this gorgeous man's going to be in the new Billy Eichner movie. He's in a ton of Hallmark movies. And it was always like, well, why aren't they trying to make this happen? They're sort of on the inside. Like, why aren't they trying to get these gay Hallmark movies going? But I don't know.
I don't know. I was just thinking about it because I was doing a little research for this show. And I was like, they look like Ken dolls.
They really do. They're like plastic.
The Christmas set. I mean, they don't even look real. And I was like, I wonder why after the whole Zola commercial ban, what is it maybe because, you know, the thought of two women having sex has been so like really sexualized in our like culture. Maybe it's I don't know. It's just interesting.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah. And I wonder what the discussions are and I wonder when it'll finally happen. That
because like,
you know, my friend is trying to get a Diwali movie made there.
Oh, that's cool.
She's an Indian woman and she's like, she tells me sort of about the process of it. And I think it's a hard process to get that, make these strides, which seems so obvious to us,
and
right?
Easy.
We're looking at this. Right. And particularly, I mean, like last year with the Happiest Season, which was like this humongous Hulu hit. And the gay community, I felt like really kind of rallied around that movie in
a
way.
We also shit on it though a little bit too.
Because we want, Well, yeah, 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 of course. Yeah. But it got, yes. Everyone watched, like a lot of people put it on to watch it, whether we were shitting on it or liked it. It was like, we were kind of, there was a groundswell support to at least watch it. And so I feel like I would wish Hallmark would look at that and be like, okay, let's get some lesbian movies on here. Like, obviously people want to see it and it might take us a few tries to get it right. But like, let's start trying. Cause we make, this has always been my biggest problem with the network is, which I don't even work. I don't know why I'm always like doing Hallmark PR,
well,
but they make 40 fucking movies a year. It's a new Christmas movies, 40 new 40 Christmas movies
Christmas across movies?
40 across two networks. This year might even be like 41. It's always between like 35 and 42. So if my thing has always been, if you're making that many fucking Christmas movies, there should be at least one of them, a gay couple, one of them, a lesbian couple, one of them, a black
interracial
couple.
Like, or something. I mean, like,
come on. It's like insanity to me because you're still pleasing that other audience. Cause that was always sort of the argument when they would give interviews, the execs who now are different, but when they would give interviews, they would say, well, you know, this is what our audience wants and stuff. It's like, well, you can still give your audience that. You're fulfilling so many hours on this. I mean, their holiday lineup begins now in July. Like they'll play a new Christmas movie in July because that's how much of a desire crazy people like me have for these movies. And so it's like, that's just too many to not have bare minimum representation. And so that's always been my biggest issue with it.
What, when you say like you're a crazy person and you want a Christmas movie, what is the, is it the backdrop of snow and socks hanging on the mantle? Like, why does it, the backdrop of it being Christmas, is it because of the dynamics between families? And because
I get the nostalgia.
Why does it
matter?
Like,
I get wanting to watch Home Alone because you're like, I watched this when I was 5. 100%. And yeah, but like the new shit that you know is going to be
Well, I feel like, I mean, you guys created a monster because I feel like I could talk about this forever. The reason why Hallmark is so good in that space is because they have the formula perfected. So what they show you, most of what is appealing about those movies is the sets, the cinematography. They film them all in Canada, but it's like the snow, every inch of that frame is cozy. The houses are cozy. That was one of my biggest problems with The Happiest Season is because they were doing that sort of type of Christmas movie. But oftentimes the creators of those types of Christmas movies miss that element of giving us the food porn, which Hallmark also does. There's always a gingerbread scene. They have very specific guidelines. Almost every, I know it's
I'm
been,
dying almost, right now.
If you get the, for writers, if you get the document of like, it has to hit basic certain beats. Every single one hits these basic beats. They love like when there's the tree lighting. They love when there's the gingerbread thing. They love a hot cocoa scene. So all of these things sort of add up and they perfected the formula in a way that Lifetime has very much started, which this is like a history lesson, but Lifetime was the one who started the Christmas movies. They were the ones who really like leaned in. Then they stepped away for a while in like the 90s and late 90s, early 2000s, they sort of stepped away. Then they saw that Hallmark really perfected this formula. So they sort of came back to it. And Lifetime is doing it really, really well now. And they're doing more diverse stories. Lifetime has really leaned into showing LGBTQ stories and people of color and all sorts of stuff. But they have caught on to that of like the set design and the hitting these beats and the clothing and like all of those things that I sometimes will watch Netflix or Hulu or some of these other places that are doing different types of Christmas movies. And I think they're just missing, but people turn on the Hallmark channel and leave it on because every movie's the same. You can jump in at any time. It just feels warm and cozy. And it's almost like people who tune in, I don't know if you've ever done this, where if you have a party or on Christmas Day or whatever it is, where you, if you have a TV, you put it on like the fireplace, or on YouTube, you turn your computer to the fireplace wallpaper. That's almost what it is. Like, it's almost
like a noise sound machine in the background. Like, it's white noise.
Right. People, Midwestern moms can put it on while they're baking and it could play. And it's just the same movie over and over again, but it's cozy.
Is there any cozy sex?
There's never any sex. And it's funny you guys mentioned they all look like Ken dolls. There's always only a kiss at the end. if for Hallmark, if we're just, is that what you're talking about? Just Hallmark?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Hallmark, there's just a kiss at the end. And up until around like this year or last year, even the men, like they, I would have to be clean shaven. They wouldn't even, the men weren't even allowed to have scruff or beards. Now they can. That's another thing that's changed. But it's a wild kind of world because the men would have to, they couldn't have any scruff.
So was this the only TV channel playing in Gilead?
Yes, this is it. This is when women are getting raped every day. If you get the choice, it's like, you want 10 hours of Hallmark today or be raped today, which do you choose? And it's a toss-up.
I mean, you took our holiday episode in a really weird direction, Darren.
However, you said Gilead, but it does go back to that point of men need to be clean-shaven because maybe there's just, and this is just me spitballing in terms of there not being a lot of lesbians. Lesbians are either like dykes who fix your fucking television with cargo shorts, or really, really sexual creatures who everyone looks at for porn. And there's no in between. Liz and I do not exist in the lesbian world.
It's hard to be. What? I was just going to say I'm the sexualized one that everybody looks at for porn.
Yeah, Liz. Yeah, yeah. Danny's silent.
The other thing I'm kind of thinking of now that we're talking, I've never really thought about this, but the women are always the lead. That's one of like kind of like the strange things about this world of Hallmark is that the women get paid the most on those channels. So people like Lacey Chabert are the stars that they get scripts made and they get more money than the male leads, which is the only place in TV and film where every single time the women are getting paid more than the men. I mean, which is a strange thing because it is Hallmark, right? But also, because of that, most of the selling points of these movies are the female leads. So the men are sort of those Ken dolls that aren't really super famous. I mean, some of the men on that network, you wouldn't know who I'm even talking about. But the women on that network, you would say, oh, I know who Lacey Chabert is or Candace Cameron Bure, or you know those people are because they were the ones who were child stars or whatever. So they sell those movies based on these sort of legacy talents that we all recognize and we feel nostalgic for and stuff like that. And even older actresses who we all know, people like Holly Robinson Peter or something, they'll put in the mother role.
Oh,
and so I think also one of the maybe reasons why places like Hallmark and Lifetime, they sell the movie based on that older female talent. Like last year, Lifetime was selling the gay movie with Fran Drescher. The two male leads were people that nobody knew, I mean, outside of maybe a small section of people, or even the new, I mean, there's a new Netflix one that's got two gay leads. One of them's Michael Urie, which I think we know who Michael Urie is from Ugly Betty, but I don't know.
He's a household name that's still new.
But they have Jennifer Coolidge, Kathy Najimy. Like they have sort of that more legacy talent in the supporting roles.
But also like idealized by gay men talent.
Fran Drescher.
Like, Fran Drescher is a gay icon. Jennifer Coolidge is kind of making her way into that space, you could say. You know, so that's interesting that, you know, the men are still objectified as these kind of like hot, faceless Ken dolls, but we're really there for like the trope of the like, you know, performing like sexy mom. Interesting.
This begs the question though, Danny. You can write books and you've written a book and you've written several books and you know a lot about this shit and you know the formula. Have you ever written a Hallmark movie?
I'm trying. Yeah, I've been pitching. I'm trying to make, I'm pitching to other networks, not just Hallmark, but it's hard. It's like a weird world because I do want to make that sort of stereotypical Hallmark movie with LGBTQ leads. Like that's my dream and goal. And it's hard to do that because there still is only one a season at that network. And also those movies, it's hard to break into that world because there's a whole slew of writers that they have that write those movies. And it's just a weird world to break into because the people who write one, they write 100 of them. And so the production companies just like keep utilizing that same talent over and over again. And they can write them in their sleep at this point. So they just keep doing it and it's hard for them to want to take chances, but I'm trying to make it happen. As long story short,
because honestly, that would be so fun. Also, you know, it'd be so funny if you did like a slow-mo, like hot cocoa, like, gingerbread sex scene. I mean, because the lighting, the soft lighting, you're right, it's cozy, but it's also like very reminiscent of high quality, like Playboy TV channel.
Do you guys remember Playboy TV? Oh my God. That's brought back a memory.
Okay,
Liz.
Wait, Danny, I can't say who it was that I watched.
Yeah. Please say.
I can't.
Come on.
Because I'm like trying to be her friend right now, but I went back and just recently watched an entire episode of this one person who's a celebrity on Playgirl TV, a la 1993, I think it was.
Now I'm trying to think who was popping.
I'll tell you. Okay. I'll tell you after this. But it was like some of the shots were like beautiful and soft and like, you know, warm lit, and she's like walking in the farmer's market and just like lifts up her skirt, and like, and then all of a sudden it just clicks, and there's no like transition. Then all of a sudden she's in this gorgeous, what looks like Parisian pétière, with like taking a bath, and I'm like, fuck yeah, because there's no sex. It's just hot, warm, cozy,
running around,
fuzzy, running around. It's, dude, Playboy TV. Was it?
This is also a very Catholic thing, right? They don't have any Jewish movies for like Hanukkah and shit, right? Like Candace Cameron Bure is.
They do now. Yeah, they do. They do Hanukkah ones now. Like every year, Hallmark has at least a couple Hanukkah ones, at least like two or three.
I feel like a Diwali one would do so well. Anyway,
I'm sorry. I have to go back to the Playboy. Do you guys remember Naked News? It was like on one of the channels that was like sort of like the Playboy channel.
No. It was
doing the news naked.
I think it was Stars.
Was it
Stars? Late night? I mean, if you want to really like the way that you know Hallmark, like, did you ever watch the show Gigolos?
Yes, Showtime, right? That was Showtime, wasn't it?
Like Showtime After Dark.
Yeah, I watched Gigolos.
One of those guys allegedly committed murder and is in jail.
People tuned in for like a nice holiday podcast, Liz, and you're like, you know, that gigolo just committed murder.
Hilarious.
Which it's true. No, this is so fascinating.
No, but I like that throwback. And
it was on Playboy, and
it was Canadian.
It was on Playboy? But it was on Playboy TV, according to Wikipedia.
They had men. I remember tuning in because they would always have a woman and a man.
Right.
And it's just like flaccid pee-pee hanging around.
And here I thought, I was like, oh, I'm straight. I'm watching the Playboy channel. But really, no. I was watching it for the dick.
But did you know that at the time? You're like, I'm watching it for the dick, but everyone's going to think.
I think deep down I knew that. Yeah.
Well, it's sort of like when I watched porn and I just like only focused on the boobs.
Wait, can I ask you guys a question though about Happiest Season? Because
you
both said you hate, what did you hate about it?
No. We didn't hate it. Did we say we hated it? I don't think we hated it.
The way I look at it is in like, okay, Liz is like one of my best friends, right? And like, I can criticize Liz and I can be like, Liz, shut the fuck up. You're being crazy. But if one of my friends who's not friends with Liz said that about Liz, I'd be like, you can't fucking talk about Liz like that. Even if they were right, I'd be like, don't talk about the family like that. We're insular. We're family. So I feel like to everyone else, like any normal, like straight person, I'd be like, yeah, Happiest Season. You should see it. What a good representation. But within our community, we're like, what a terrible fucking movie it was. I can't, like, this is bad. Like, we can critique it on a layer that I feel, because we're all in the know about it. It was fine, but it was very predictable. And also, and I know we're not going to discuss Spencer today. We are going to discuss Spencer on a different thing. Kristen Stewart is just not a good actress. She's just... not a good actress.
See, I fell in love with her after Happiest Season, like to the point where I had never really had I never found Kristen Stewart like appealing, or I shouldn't say that. I just never really like had much thought about her. I'd watch something and like nothing about a performance or anything. Like it would just sort of like glaze over me. But when I saw the Happiest Season, I was like, oh my God, I think I'm attracted to Kristen Stewart. Like that was the first time, it was like a sexless movie too, but for some reason, maybe it was the Christmas of it all. And I'm like an idiot for Christmas.
It definitely was. It all because
like the turkey on the table, I find Danny's her like swooning.
I'm like horny for anyone on screen if there's a Christmas tree.
I can look at her and say, objectively, she's like an interesting, 100%. Attractive girl. But when she speaks and she's like, bro, like, yeah, dude, like, oh my God, I'm like going to engage. I'm going to propose, dude.
A la Howard Stern interview.
She's just such a the worst in my opinion.
That won me over for some reason. That whole kind of thing won me over in that
movie. But it was triggering and tragic and a bummer when like the sister like outed. I mean, I just think when we first watched it, to Darren's point, to all the straight people out there, we were like, yeah, representation, watch it. Kristen Stewart, Twilight, like Huntsman. But I think internally, we're like, whoa, this was kind of like a little one-dimensional. And Aubrey Plaza was literally just a silent like White Walker, like in each frame, and said nothing and would like pop up downtown and like, you know what I mean?
I love Aubrey Plaza. What? And I love her.
No, me too. It just was all a little, yeah, it was strange. It was like on the nose, but not, it was just.
Sometimes I just wish there was a gay movie where it wasn't. Like, ooh, they're outing. Like, I just want a gay movie where it's like, we're just like everybody else. And like, let's just exist in a world where like, we all just hate our families during the holidays because we all hate our fucking families during the holidays.
But also, really quickly, how do you go from this, like, the tree falling, this traumatic outing, like the township is there or whatever you want to call it. And then the next day, they're just like, matching pajamas. What? Like, I don't know what family. Like, listen, my brother actually got. Basically, he's gay. He got like divorced on Christmas. It was the craziest, Danny. This is a lifetime. If you need some, or if you need some
next year, Liz, and we're gonna see that, and we're gonna be like, Danny, you stole Liz's life. Wait,
was he married to a woman or man?
To a man. Okay. And it was Christmas Eve, and my brother and his then husband were acting very strangely. And I was like, wasted. I'm like, what's going on? Like playing with my old Teddy Ruxpin, like trying to get it to work. And my brother's like, hey, can we talk? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he just like rageful in his eyes. He's like, let's go to the Disney bar. Now my parents live in Florida and the only bar that's near their house is this massive Disney resort because they live on the water. So there my brother and I are fucking goofy in a Christmas hat, like Santa hat, walking around. And my brother looks at me and goes, well, my husband just told me that he cheated on me. And he's like, but you can't tell mom. And I'm wasted. Like, what? So, of course, we drive home. We open up another bottle of wine because he, you know, we had to drive, so he couldn't really drink. So we're like drinking. It's 2 a.m. And by the way, I don't have like warm and cozy like parents. I have like ice Joan Crawford mother, like no wire hangers vibes. I knock on the door, walk in at 3 a.m, wake my mom up, and I was like, bitch, we in danger.
Molly, this you in danger, mess. Girl.
I was like, these motherfuckers, this is a, she's like, what happened? I was like, well, this motherfucker fucked this guy, and this motherfucker fucked this guy, and everybody's a wreck. We literally had to separate them in the house. One person could be upstairs, one person could be downstairs, trying to get flights. They never spoke or saw each other ever again. So there's your gay
awkward
Christmas movie.
The tension.
Isn't that the most awkward?
About
it was
couples,
so crazy.
Especially gay couples breaking up on like birthdays, family reunions,
holidays.
They love a big event. They're so dramatic.
Well, you know what? I was talking to my mom and she's like, the last time you were home was when you came out to all of us. And I was like, okay, then now I know I'm going to spiral when I get home about it all. Because like, I totally just, that was like 12 years ago or something. It was a long time ago, over a decade. And yeah, I'm like, man,
let me know if you need me to drop
why did
some
I
CBD
yeah,
off
seriously.
At the house.
Or something stronger.
Why did I have some hidden in my parents' house? Like there's a shelf with all that stuff hidden. Anyway, I don't know what it is about the holidays. So I'm like, why did I come out on Thanksgiving weekend? I remember I lived in Chicago at the time and like I came out on Thanksgiving night and then I like drove off to back to Chicago and it's like, why didn't I do it at a different time? Like, why did I have to be so dramatic and do it on the holiday? I don't know.
Because it's like bubbling up.
It's the emotive responses of being around family during this time of year. Like, it's just, it's unexpected.
You're right, Darren.
Quick question. Do we consider Nightmare Before Christmas a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie?
To me, it's Halloween. I don't like this. I'm not interested in seeing it at Christmas. I'm just not interested. Get it off my screen. I'm not interested.
That's a good segue, Darren, to our game, which it doesn't really make sense. I've called it the Holiday Hoedown. Which is a better holiday?
And for
movie.
Reference, Danny, you're the hoe in the hoedown. Okay, you're going to be the hoe. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Good. I just talked about sucking dick, so I'm ready to be the hoe.
Basically, just pick which one is the more holiday movie. Like, just pick the one you like.
Yeah. Okay. But if you're caught in between two, we need the reasoning.
Here we go, folks. All right. Speaking of the happiest season, we've got the happiest season, or my personal favorite, Carol.
Oh, Carol. I loved Carol. Yeah.
Me did too. We believe that both of them could be lesbians, though. Like, we believe they were believable, unlike Reese, Juliana Margulies.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. So believable.
They were really believable, right? Yeah, they were believable.
Based on a true story.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about Cate Blanchett? Well, she was supposed to be Lucy in the Lucille Ball movie, and then it was Nicole Kidman. But I heard Nicole's great, but I would have, I would have loved to see Cate Blanchett do it.
But doesn't it make sense for it to be Deborah Messing?
No, I don't.
No, it actually doesn't, because the movie. Hold on. No. I'll tell you, because I actually have. I have
just like the gays
at
Hallmark. You guys said nope.
No, Darren. I know. The movie actually isn't Lucille Ball being crazy. Lucille Ball, like in Lucy, it's more about the person. So I think it had to be a little bit more. I think Deborah Messing could have played it, but I think a Cate Blanchett actually makes more sense.
Fair.
And, you know, I'll let you guys decide when you see it.
And Deborah Messing, she played Lucy in an episode of Will and Grace.
Yeah, she did.
That horrific last season. And that was enough.
I know. Killed sometimes her chances. It's like, stop rebooting.
Love her, but that's enough.
All right, Darren, are you ready for the next one?
Yes, we have Rent, which is actually a movie I fucking love. And Love the Coopers. Not sure if you saw this, Danny.
Controversial opinion. I'm choosing Love the Coopers. I saw it opening night with my mother in Ohio. I think Love the Coopers is a weird fucking movie. It's not good, but there are so many good elements there that I really encourage people to watch it. Again, it's not good, but there's a lot of good stuff. It's got that warm and cozy glow. The cinematography in Love the Coopers is one of the best holiday cinematographies I've ever seen. Truly, it's up there, just visually gorgeous. It's got crazy performances. Marissa Tomei and Diane Keaton are meant to be sisters, which makes no fucking sense. And there's flashbacks of them as young siblings where they're the same age, and then in real life, Diane Keaton's much older than Marissa Tomei, which leads me to believe somebody must have dropped out or something. I'm not sure. I also do not care for Ed Helms. He sings in the movie, which is very frustrating. Timothée Chalamet, one of his very first performances, great. Olivia Wilde and Jake Lacy got great chemistry in that. I encourage people to watch Love the Coopers. Give it a chance. Not good. Go in with low expectations. And I'm not a huge fan of the Rent movie, although I love Rent.
I actually like the Rent movie. I just like it. I think it's because I like the music. Two things. One, Danny, I don't understand why you're not living in New York, where it's like literally winter wonderland and like you can be around the Rockefeller's Christmas tree. Number two, if you had your choice of watching, you're sitting down, you're ready to watch a holiday movie, you want to watch something that you've never seen before on Hallmark or Lifetime or wherever, or you want to go for nostalgia?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I think ultimately, I would choose nostalgia. Like, if I could sit down with Home Alone, like, to me, also Home Alone is a perfect movie. I just watched the new Home Alone, and I was so devastated by it.
Home Sweet Home Alone.
And again, I got so frustrated that they missed a lot of those things that make the first one so special. Like, the visuals, it looked really cheap to me. The first Home Alone looks rich. Like, they put money on screen. Rich. And everything from the house, it was like, the new Home Alone, like, that's the most important thing in a Home Alone movie, is having a gorgeous, cozy house. Like, people, there's a Lego set of that fucking house that's out this year. Like, that's important to the franchise. So it doesn't have to be that house, but the house needs to be really fucking rich and gorgeous.
Yeah.
And in the first movie, the wallpaper, everything's green and red, and the set is beautiful, Christmas cozy. And they didn't do that. And the music too, it's like that score in the original, the first two Home Alones, one of the most brilliant musical scores of all time. And they used it a little bit. They called back to that original, but it's like, that's important to that franchise. It's like, I think if you're looking at rebooting something like that, focus, like, bring those elements and create a new story.
Yeah. We
can focus on new characters and stuff, but like, don't, those are the most important things to that movie, for me at least. Maybe I'm just crazy. Okay.
I mean, I agree. And I love Home Alone too. So,
yeah. The Grinch that Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey, as we all remember,
or my favorite Christmas movie,
Tangerine, which was all shot on an iPhone 6, which is kind of crazy.
I love that you brought up Tangerine. I'm going to go with Tangerine. I think it's one of the most brilliant movies. It's also a Christmas movie. It's gorgeous. That scene.
I forgot
with
it
the
was
wig
a Christmas
and
movie.
In the laundry mat. I mean, it's like
the best,
the most emotional, beautiful scene ever. And it's so, so good. It's just so, so good. And the Grinch is unhinged, and the Grinch is great to make fun of because it's truly like one of the most bizarre fucking movies ever. There's like the baby Grinch in it, which I could talk about.
I almost pulled up the baby Grinch as the photo reference, but this felt more appropriate.
He also like terrorized people. I host a spinoff holiday podcast with my friend Jenna, and we're going to do an episode about this because we found all this research about like the makeup person who is this brilliant makeup artist that basically like they got out of retirement because he was so brilliant for that movie. And then Jim Carrey was such a fucking nightmare that the man was like, okay, I'm done. Like he couldn't work anymore after that.
God, oh my God, I'm dead. Okay. Well, we
last
now
one
have
least Die Hard.
Die Hard or
the Christmas setup, which was on Hallmark, which was the first gay storyline that we could see openly.
Aaron, I'm going to correct you. That was from the Christmas setup, which was Lifetime. And that was the Fran Drescher one I was talking about, which was really good. And I actually would encourage people, the best part of that movie, aside from the fact that they got all those cozy elements, there was nothing about coming out in it. It wasn't like a coming out story. They were just gay and nobody had any issue with it. They were just gay. And it was like any of those other Hallmark Lifetime movies, except for it was just two gay leads, which to me was the most revolutionary part of that because they didn't try to shoehorn in a coming out story or a tragedy or anything. It was just a gay love story. And so I'd say everyone should check that out. If you haven't watched it, just put that on.
All right. So you're going to choose that over Die Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Die Hard. I mean, Die Hard's good. Bruce Willis is sexy in Die Hard.
We'll make it gay. We'll make it gay if we can't make it gay.
I was surprised it was holiday, but the internet told me it was a Christmas movie. So I threw it in there as a curveball.
It's a controversial, like,
it
hot
is
topic.
Because I haven't seen it in long enough, but I would never choose Die Hard as a Christmas movie or a holiday.
Neither would like, I. But like, I didn't know why. I was running out of options. Do you know
can
what
I
mean?
Ask you if this is a lesbian holiday movie? Batman Returns.
Because is Batman Returns
I kind of think
the
it
one
is.
Where Uma Thurman?
Catwoman.
Oh, Catwoman.
It's a set at Christmas, lots of Christmas, right? And Michelle
that's
Pfeiffer
true.
As Catwoman.
Yes.
I mean,
I
Michelle
think that's
Pfeiffer
when
can...
I became a lesbian.
Well,
in
her
in
a cat
early
suit.
90s. I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer, Halle Berry is a quick sec. I mean, it's hard to say, but for me.
Let's not forget Alicia Silverstone as well, but she was like Catgirl or something. She was like,
fuck.
That was during the Val Kilmer.
She was Batgirl. I think she was
Batgirl.
Batgirl
or something.
No, but Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman I felt things that I had never felt before.
I still feel things from that. I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer is still like top three for me of all time. So. 100%.
One of the most gorgeous women of all time. And that
literally.
Performance was one of the hottest. Even, she's in a really tight outfit, but she's fully clothed, like head to toe. And it's still like the sexiest thing ever, I think. I mean, it's just like.
I think that was the first lesbian holiday movie, correct.
But I don't
that
think we knew it was at the time. I think looking back now, it's like every lesbian's like, can you believe Michelle Pfeiffer and Batman Returns? But when we were watching it, I think I was just like, oh, it's like superhero movie, yay. Like, do they have any lesbian superheroes?
A kid and my brother just played it over and over.
They don't have any lesbian Marvel people, right? No?
I think there's gays or lesbians in the Eternals. I didn't see it, but I there's
I
some
that
sort
was
of
so bad.
I heard it was bad. I didn't watch
it. Was
it.
So bad.
It's not my genre, you know.
Not mine either.
Isn't that fucked up though? The fact that we have so many superhero movies, so many,
but
and we can't
me-
even sit here and think of one fucking superhero that's a lesbian.
Well,
I agree,
well,
but
lesbian,
Hallmark's coming
but
out
I mean,
40 movies a year, and nothing's gay there. So sorry, Liz. Go ahead.
Well, no, because I think you're right. I'm trying to think. No lesbians. No.
No, like they could be like, I'm queer, but like it doesn't. They're not like pushing towards it.
Oh, you know what? Did you ever see, this is going to sound cheesy, but the Power Rangers movie, which was really great, but one of the Power Rangers, like the new one, it was a newer one. The girl one was bisexual.
They're but always, it was all, well, I was going to say,
yeah. They're always Rosie, bisexual.
Whatever her name is on the CW, she was bisexual, oh, yeah. That one. But that's like drama.
They do have superpowers, those bisexuals. Liz has power that I will never be able to possess.
It's true. It's true. Danny, yeah. So you are doing a Christmas special again this year then?
Yeah, I have a podcast called A Very Merry Iconic Podcast. And my friend Jenna and I, she has written movies for Lifetime and Hallmark, not Christmas ones. She's written like the Killer Twin, where it's like a, sick. You know, killer, that kind of
she's
thing.
She's written the good ones. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 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 So her and I, we mostly just drag Christmas movies. Like, so we just did an episode on Fred Claus, which is an insane movie where Ludacris plays an elf DJ and it's just his face CGI'd on a little person's body. So if you would like us to hear us, if you would like to hear us talk about that for 35 minutes, then
this was like a 90 minute cinematic movie that you're talking about, or this was like a 10 minute YouTube clip.
Wow. No, it was a whole movie. Kathy Bates is in it.
And when does, when are you starting to release those podcasts?
So those are most Tuesdays. It's like most Tuesdays through Christmas. We're not sure how many we're going to do. It's just sort of a fun side project we do. But it'll probably end up being every Tuesday through Christmas. We might have a few guests pop in. Last year we had Clea DuVall from Happiest Season came on, and Fran Drescher came on, and Marie Osmond came on with my mother. We did a Zoom with my mother and Marie Osmond.
Casual, which was, flex for his side project. Drops?
Like, this was the best. This was the best thing I've ever done, especially last year because of COVID, wasn't able to go home. And my mom is obsessed with Marie Osmond. And so getting to be on a Zoom with my mom and her, it like made my mom's whole life. And it was the best thing ever. Cause she was in like a Lifetime Christmas movie. So that's why she nothing. Came.
But if your mom likes Marie Osmond and has a gay son, I feel like that should have been assumed.
I know. My mom likes all the gay divas too. She raised me to be gay. She always had Toni Braxton, Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, Celine Dion, Gloria Estefan. Yes. They were all the divas were playing in our house.
Another sad love song in my brain like crazy.
Okay. Yes. Who out of all those women I just named, who is the hottest to both of you? Go.
Wait, Celine.
Let's say Celine, Mariah, Whitney, Toni Braxton, Shania Twain, Faith Hill. I'm trying to think of the divas.
You know what I just listened to Faith Hill in the car the other day, that big number one hit. And I was like, damn, this was such a good pop song. Ooh.
Like, I want to say Celine for the nostalgia, like just loving Celine. But Celine isn't like just looking at a picture of Celine. Moments. She's not hot.
They all had their moments because Mariah Carey to me swinging on that swing or like Fantasy on the Roller Coaster with ODB, RIP. Really is like peak hotness. Ooh, or Honey on the jet ski.
Hottest. When she takes off the thing and she's in the bathing suit and dives into the water.
Yeah, I'm actually good. And then, but then you've got Whitney.
I mean, Whitney is gorge. Whitney's gorge.
But then Toni Braxton with the with You're Making Me High in the white pleather jumpsuit
and
when
the
guys keep coming
voice.
With elevators.
Danny, I don't know.
To me, Toni Braxton has that like sexy, like the her tone is so hot. Like
but
when,
then you've got Shania Twain. Feel like, man, I feel
like
let's
go, girls.
Woman. Let's go, girls. Then you've got, you know, Celine Dion and Meatloaf together running around like Beauty and the Beast.
Let's go, girls. That's how it is. Let's go, girls.
I mean, Danny, I don't know what to tell you. This is a question that I don't think has a real answer.
Yeah, the fact that your mom placed you with such hot women and you ended up being gay is clearly a genetic flaw. That's a problem. Right.
I remember watching specifically Divas Live 1998, which to me remains one of the peaks of gay culture.
Who was it?
It was that one was Mariah, Aretha, Gloria Estefan, Shania Twain, Celine Dion, featuring Carole King.
Carole King didn't get top billing. I mean, to be honest with you, Divas Live VH1 was something that I looked forward to every year.
The next year was Cher, Whitney. Cher, Whitney, Brandy, Norwood, Faith Hill. That was a good year too. It was those 2 years were the only good ones, 98 and 99. And then it kind of went to shit.
Yeah, I was in seventh and eighth grade and that was like peak crying in my room, listening to R&B music. Like also that was around the Waiting to Exhale time, which remains to me, quite frankly, one of the best soundtracks to a movie of all time.
Classic. Sitting up in my room. Was classic. That from that
Can't
album?
Stop thinking about you. I must confess, I'm a mat. Like, do you want to do this, Danny? We can.
I was on a Brandy kick recently. Like, I love
you?
Brandy.
Baby, and... baby, baby with the bubble jacket.
Baby,
like,
baby, baby, baby.
She's great. And she's still looks
ever?
The exact same. She still looks the exact same.
Have you ever, remember in that video, she put on like the guy's button down and
yep. Oh, have you ever loved someone so much it makes you cry? Have you ever I mean, like,
yeah, I loved
here.
Her. I
mean,
it made me cry.
Yeah. Okay, Danny. So everyone should listen to your holiday iconic extravaganza show every Tuesday. You also have your podcast.
Pre-order the book.
Pre-order the book.
There's an audiobook you could pre-order or the regular book. And yes, like Darren, you mentioned earlier, pre-orders help so, so much.
They do.
It'll be out here before we know it, March 8th. I'm super excited. And I really am so proud of it. Like, I think it's really fun and funny and there's a lot of heart and all sorts of stuff in there. And so a little drama that I'm really super, it's the thing I'm most proud of that I've ever done creatively. So I hope people get it.
Oh my God.
Just like Danny, well, a little dramatic. But the sweetest pie dramatic. You've ever seen.
Okay,
in your
well, we're
life.
We're definitely going to be inviting ourselves to the book launch party.
Correct.
I'm happy to just, you know, be the coat check girl. You just tell
you're
me.
You're there. You guys are there. I don't know where,
I'll
what, or when it's
going
to be, but you're there.
Danny. I'll check in VIPs. I can.
I'll be in New York. You
okay,
guys,
good.
We'll be I'm doing a book signing thing in New York. So
okay,
good. Not in LA.
Yeah, I'll be in LA in New York. A bunch of places. So follow me on social media. I'll post all of that when I have the final dates, but I'll be in a handful of dates for release week that week doing signing.
I was going to say.
Well, like, congratulations.
We're not gonna do, we can't do something at the Grove, go to fucking Maggiano's afterwards.
I think we're doing the Grove and I think we're doing the Strand in New York maybe. And then Chicago and some other ones. We're working
dead.
It out.
Well, from us to yours.
We love you. And we can't wait to see your Hallmark movie with gay couples swinging back and forth.
I love you both.
Sex harness. We love you.
I hope. I know. We're airing on the Playboy Network.
I want to see a slow, like, swipe of hard icing on a gingerbread house. Like,
but like
I want
their abs and you're
making mold wine just
like
warm light.
I think we're gonna do like the leads are in the movie. They work for Naked News and that's like the setup. Like that's how they meet. They're both hired as anchors for Naked News.
I'm obsessed.
Like, oh, the wheels are turning. You're iconic and you can follow. Yeah.
I love you guys so much. I'm gonna email you my audio.
Oh, great.
Thank you. Thank you, Danny. We love you.
Love you.
Thank you, guys.
Scissoring Isn't a Thing is a production of Embassy Row. Our executive producer is Sarni Rogers. This episode was produced by Alexa Machia and Anna Marie Johnson. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at SIAT Podcast. See you next Tuesday.